Okay, thank you, Mr. Abernathy. It was well done, boys and girls. You did really, really well. And it's good to be here. I know I never liked getting up at the front whenever I was younger for Sunday school or for school or anything. And now we're doing something that we never liked doing in the first place in regards to speaking. But it's great to be able to share the gospel with you, and that's what we enjoy doing, sharing the gospel with boys and girls and young people. Now, this morning, as we're coming up to Christmas, We look around us and we see different decorations throughout the week, and there's various things that we see. And there's one thing that we see, thank you, Nevin, there's one thing that we see is the candy cane, okay? And the candy cane goes a long way back, 350 years ago apparently, where it used to be a little white stick, where there was no colours in it, or there was no bend in it, and it goes back to a time whenever apparently it was made to keep little boys and girls quiet at the front who were listening to carols being sung in a particular church. I don't know which one. But as time went on, apparently, it turned into something that ended up having a little shape of a hook. Okay, and that was towards the end of the 1800s. And then in the 1900s, just over 100 years ago, I think they put in the little red dye that goes around the candy cane. So it was pure white to start with. And then it developed into something that had a red stripe. And so it's used for many different things today, hanging over fireplaces, Christmas trees. You have them on lights that go up the garden path, and all those different sorts of things. And so today I brought one with me. I tried to find the biggest one that I could find that you can eat. And I brought one with me today. And that's the biggest one that I could find. Okay. Who's ever found one that size before? Have you? Okay, home bargains, real treat. All right. Now, Mr. Abernathy mentioned a few months ago about having sweet teeth. I think it was in a message one time. And I think if he ate this one, he wouldn't have any teeth left. Okay. But this is the biggest one that I could find, all right? And I don't know if I'll give this one away. But for sake of time, we're going to move on and keep speaking. There's lots of different ideas, maybe philosophies that people would say about this and what it represents, but we're going to teach some things from it and have some lessons hopefully today, just for the last few minutes, and think about some spiritual lessons that we can learn. The first thing that comes to mind when I look at the candy cane is the shape of it, and there's a certain letter that is there that anybody could maybe have a guess at having a go. Just the letter J. The letter J. Now, my name begins with J. And who else's name begins with J? Okay, there's a few people. All right, we'll not take the time to go around you all today. So it reminds me of my name. It reminds me of other people's names that maybe we work with in the church or outside the church and people we meet from time to time. But it reminds me of one special person that was read by Brooke just a few moments ago. And that's a little passage. If you do have a Bible with you, you can read from verse 20 through to verse 23 and follow this through with me. As we point out the four things that we want to leave with you today. Because the first thing that we see is a person. The person, it's the Lord Jesus. And it was a verse that was read out by the children in verse 21. That whenever the angel of the Lord was speaking to Mary, speaking to Joseph, he said to Joseph, that she shall bring forth a son, speaking about Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the reason he was called would be called Jesus is because he would save his people from their sins. And so, we're thinking about the person. Over in Luke chapter 2, in the verse 10, we read that Luke records the words of the angel of the Lord that spoke to the shepherds, and he said to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is a person who brings joy. This is a person who brings joy to all, not just to the nation of Israel, but to people outside of the nation of Israel. And what a wonderful thing it is that today, in the days in which we live, he can bring joy and contentment and happiness to the hearts of boys and girls, young people, and adults, even in our own society today. And he's known as Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the one who is the Lord. He's one in history who came to deal with the sin of the world once and for all, for those who would trust in him and who would believe on him. Now, when we go back to Genesis, we realize why we need a Savior. It's very important, isn't it, to always look back and look into history as to why things happened and why we have certain things today or whatever else. But and that's the case when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always good to remember, boys and girls, and it's always good to remember, parents and grandparents, why we need a Savior. Because when we look back to the start of Genesis, we read of an event that took place, a real event, where man sinned in the Garden of Eden. And the boys and girls, the young people, and all of us, bar maybe one or two, I'm sure most of us know the story of Adam and Eve. We will know that man sinned in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve rebelled against the Lord when the devil tempted Eve. He said that ye shall be as gods. You can be like me. You can be your own God. You can be who you want to be. And isn't that the age in which we live in today, like every generation? There's people have that heart that wants to do what they want to do and believe what they want to believe. But thank God that while he sinned, and even though sin passed upon all men, so we've all sinned today, and death came by sin, thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world to undo what Adam did. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To undo what Adam did, to bring us back to God, and to do what Adam failed to do, which was to live righteously, perfectly, and obediently to God's command. So just to finish with this little thought today, if you're in your sins, Jesus sets himself before you as a personal Savior, one that you can look to, one you can trust in for salvation. Now, another thing we can think about, another word, is perfection. Okay, whenever we look at the candy cane, it's not perfect, we know that, but we have the color white. Okay, and white's often a color that's used for something to illustrate something that's clean and something that's pure. It's the clearest color, I think, that we have, as far as I know. If I'm wrong, correct me. But white's the purest color that we can use as an illustration to show how something's pure. It's often used in the wordless book, for example. And it reminds us of, if I just skip through this, because we're just skipping through to save some time, it reminds us how even in the world today in which we live, there's nothing pure. Isn't that right? We look even out at creation. Let's give two or three examples. We look out at creation, and we see how creation even groans. The Bible talks about that, how it's in pain. We look at the animals and the animal kingdom and how there's praise and there's predators. Was it like that before Adam sinned in the garden? No, it wasn't like that before Adam sinned in the garden. Were there thorns and thistles that we see in the world today and weeds? No, it came as a consequence of sin, isn't that right? We think of the flood. We think of the effects that had on the world and how the fountains of the deep were broken up and how the lands were displaced from place to place. And we see all around us, even through creation, while it was good at the beginning, and God said it was very good, yet what do we see? We see this world marred by sin. Lots of beautiful places, but marred by the corruption of sin. We think of circumstances. We mentioned that little verse a moment or two ago, that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so we live in a world today where all of us, at some point or other, we face tragic circumstances, difficult circumstances, where there's pain, there's misery, and even loss, and death, and suffering, and all of those things. We can think of the third thing, in communities, to get right to the heart of the matter. In communities, there's people, and in people, there's hearts, and there's intentions, and there's ideas. And as we look around us today, and we look into our own hearts, don't we see how we've all broken the very law of God, how we have gone against God's word. We've rebelled against God's command. It wasn't just Adam 6,000 years ago. It's us 6,000 years later who have a sin problem. And as we look at the commandments and weigh up our lives alongside God's commandments, we see very, very quickly and very clearly that we've broken every single one of those commandments. And the Bible says that if we offend in one point, we are guilty of all. If we break one rule, we break one of God's commandments, we break them all. And so how unperfect we are. Yet there's one who is perfect. And that's the second word we're thinking about very briefly. The perfection of this person that we're looking at today is, of course, as well, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 1 and the verse 20, where the angel said to Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." What a wonderful thought that is, that the Holy Ghost prepared a body which was holy. Luke, he records the words of the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, if you have a Bible, and he speaks about that holy thing. This is the wonderful thing that the Son of Man, the Son of God, came to take on human flesh, a real body with human flesh, flesh and blood, like our own, except he was without sin. Perfect, perfect. And as we look at the Lord Jesus' life, what do we see? Well, we see him sitting with publicans and sinners, and we see there are people who tried to accuse him for being in the wrong and tried to pick him up and tried to fault him. But we learn from that occasion, don't we, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. When he sat with those sinners and he sat with those publicans that were despised and rejected by other people, he didn't take part in what they were doing. That didn't make him any less pure than what he is. We think of how he broke how people said to him that he broke the Sabbath day along with his disciples, how he plucked corn. We could think of a couple of examples. Another one is when he healed the man with the withered hand. You might remember that little Bible story from Sunday school, maybe learning it at home. Boys and girls, well, he was accused of breaking the Sabbath day, but he taught that there was acts of mercy and acts of necessity that could be done on the Sabbath day. He was still perfect. We can go forward a little bit and think towards his crucifixion, how people, they witnessed together and they came up before the Lord Jesus and before others as the Lord Jesus was on trial. And it says that many bear false witness against him. But I love this little phrase where it says their witness agreed not together. I love that verse. It shows that Jesus Christ, my Savior, is pure, holy. They couldn't find any fault with him. Pilate said that, didn't they? He said, after questioning the Lord Jesus, he said to the chief priests and to the people, he said, "I find no fault with this man, the thief on the cross." And he was dying. Do you remember what he said? He said, "This man hath done nothing amiss. This man has done nothing wrong." Peter, after the resurrection, after Jesus had died and rose again, he talked about the Holy One and the just. Now, he's perfect today. He's perfect today. We thought about the person. We thought about how he is perfect. And we can think also about the peace that he brings. Whenever I look at the candy cane and I look at the red stripes that were put in, just over, how long ago was it, did I say? Anybody remember? Yeah? Over 100 years ago, thereabouts. The red stripes were put through. The candy cane was white to start with, wasn't it? And then the red was put through it over 100 years ago. And so we have this candy cane that we have today. And you know, I think of the color red, and very often it's a symbol of sacrifice, isn't it? There's been many millions over the past 100 years who have lost their lives in war to bring peace. And you know, whenever we look at that verse in verse 21 that was read out by one of the children, it says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It speaks about the work which the Lord Jesus Christ would do at the end of his life. It speaks of a great work that he would do at the end of his life. He would save his people from their sins. And as I read that, I see how he will bring peace. I can see how he's brought peace to my heart and to my life, in the sense of having sins forgiven, the knowledge of knowing that I'll never be punished by God in hell. Whenever I was 7 years old, I came to realize that, the age of some of these children, I came to realize that the Lord Jesus had saved me, and he brought peace to my heart, peace to my soul, peace that passes all understanding. And Mary, she was able to say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior." This was her personal Savior. This was the one that brought peace to her heart. This was the one that saved her from her sins. Thomas, one of the followers of Jesus, didn't he say, "My Lord and my God"? This was one who these people trusted in. This is one that many people trust in God's house today, in Bethany. that many people in this community trust in and throughout the rest of the world. That's a wonderful thing that God, in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings peace to the hearts of men and women. While today there is maybe little peace and not much peace going by what we were saying earlier about the circumstances of life, there can be challenges and difficulties and obstacles that we face. Yet in our hearts we can know peace of sins forgiven, being made right with God, never having the fear of eternal death, of eternal pain, but being born again, being saved, being made ready for heaven if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's the only price that could be paid. When we think of the Lord Jesus, He, as we were saying, sorry, I meant to skip that on there. This is the problem of having PowerPoint, you forget where you are. But when we think about peace, it was the only price that could be paid. It had to be the best. You know, the lambs in the Old Testament scriptures and the Word of God, or those animals, other animals that had to be brought, they had to be perfect. There couldn't be any old animal that was brought for sacrifice. It had to be the best. You know, when we think of that, it reminds us that the Lord Jesus was the very best, because those sacrifices pointed to Jesus Christ and His final payment and the death which He would make on the cross. And I love that little verse in Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 20 that says, having made peace through the blood of His cross. You know, if you're not saved, you don't know the Lord, you're still in your sins, you're heading for a lost eternity, the Lord can bring peace to your soul. And He's made that peace by the shedding of His precious blood on the cross at Calvary. The last thing I want to think about from this candy cane is something very practical. And it's really something that the shepherds would use. Can anybody read the screen or have an idea or have a go at what it is? The shepherd's staff. All right. Now, this isn't as long as a staff. Maybe they'll make one sometime that size. I don't know. But the shepherd, I remember going to Romania with Philip and some others back in 2014. And there was this shepherd who came by over the mountains that we were staying in for the Bible clubs that we were doing. And I remember he took off his hat and he had this big tan line across the middle of his forehead. All right. And he was out from springtime until autumn time. And there he was looking after the sheep out in the mountains, wild and bare, looking after the sheep with a couple of dogs. And there he led the sheep day by day and stayed with them, I think, and believe it was even through the night times. Might have got home the odd time, I'm not sure. But you know, as we go back to the Bible times, back a couple of thousand years ago, and it still goes on today, the shepherds still have the staff. They have the staff. And you know, the shepherd would come alongside the lambs that would go astray. And apparently, if you're a shepherd and you have a staff, they would lift up the little lambs from underneath their belly. And what would they do with them? They would bring them closer to the side of the shepherd. And you know, this reminds me of the Lord's presence in Matthew chapter 1 and the verse 23. And they had the big poem done out for Emmanuel. It says at the end of verse 23 of a name and a title that was given to the Lord, they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You know, in a sense, as we trust the Lord and live for the Lord day by day and walk with Him, He will presence Himself with us. He will be with us. He will help us. The psalmist was able to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so, while we like sheep have gone astray and we've turned everyone to our own way, isn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord can bring us in to His presence, and He'll be with us and He'll help us if we trust in Him and we depend upon Him? There's a little verse then that comes to mind as we finish. And as we've read it already, they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But it's a little verse in Psalm 16 and the verse 11, where the psalmist said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I want to leave those thoughts with you today. We thought about the person of the Lord Jesus. We've thought about the person. We've thought about how He's perfect. We've thought about how He brings peace to the heart of those who repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thought about His presence, how He'll be with you. He will be with you. He'll help you. And he'll draw near as you live for him. In Jesus' name, amen.